Aren't you glad you don't have to worry about it anymore? I don't know why we do, but we always seem to worry about the things of this world. And God says, it's all under control. I've taken care of it. You don't have to worry anymore. Well, turn with me, if you would, please, to Revelation chapter 1. We're going to read, I got about six or so verses here, but we're going to turn to them real quick. But Revelation chapter 1. And verse 7 and 8 speaks to us to about a good, wonderful event that we get to look forward to one day. And the title of this message is, I Can't Wait to See the Clouds. You know, when you look at the clouds out there, depending on what kind of mood you're in, depends on what you see. If you see the clouds, oh no, it's going to rain again. Or you might say, yay, it's going to rain again. Or you may look in the clouds and it may be white clouds out there. You may look at, oh, that looks like an angel. Or look how the sun is coming through the middle of that cloud formation and making it look like a window. And God's glory is coming through there. Or you may see it, man, it's just too hot. It doesn't matter if these clouds are out here or not. I wish it was just a little cooler. And I wish I could look up there and see snow clouds and not these rain clouds or just some hot white clouds. But clouds are not just pretty cotton balls that are in the sky, but they have been used by God to show forth His presence in this world. He allows us to, He uses things in this world to project His glory in this world and allow us to and to remind ourselves and remember some things. But when we see the clouds, it should remind us of some things. Even in the Jews, they had a situation we're going to look at in just a moment. When they see the clouds, what that reminds them of, and us as Gentiles or saved believers, when we see the clouds, what does it remind us of and what are we needing to expect? And so Revelation chapter 1 gives us one of those verses that we're looking at this morning's introductory. It says in verse number 7 in chapter 1, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, here's a person that's talking. John is writing this down. He's saying that Jesus is going to come with the clouds. Now, why is that so important? Why is it that we see several scriptures in there, in the Old Testament and New Testament, talking about the clouds? And we read that last week about Acts chapter 1. And why are you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus will come with the clouds again. Why does it keep mentioning the clouds? What's so important about that? Why can't he just show up? And why do we have to see him with clouds? Well, there's a reason for that, and God wants us to remember about that. And we can, every person here can learn of God's presence in our life, and by studying just four cloud references we're going to look at in the Bible this morning. And one of them is in Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 21. There's actually three Old Testament verses I'm going to look at, but if you want to turn to the first one, Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 21. He says there, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and led them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. And so we see that God used the clouds to guide the children through the wilderness, a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. But when they saw the cloud, they realized God's presence was with them. When they saw the cloud, they realized that God was leading them. That cloud wasn't just a cotton ball in the sky. That cloud wasn't just a rain cloud. That cloud wasn't just a snow cloud. That cloud showed the presence of God for the people of Israel. And it meant something to them when they saw that cloud. As we read also in Leviticus chapter 16, verse number 2, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all into this holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. And so the people not only knew God's presence when they saw him in the wilderness, they saw the cloud guiding them, but they also saw that cloud rest upon the mercy seat, the tabernacle that they built. And God says, when you see that cloud, you see my mercy. Now, the first cloud we look at is a cloud of mercy. God realized that he needed to show himself in a way that the people could understand that he was with them, but also to exemplify the mercy that he was having upon his people. And so the Jews knew when they saw the clouds that it was God, and it represented God's mercy. Another verse that was in Exodus 15:13 says, "Thou in thy mercy hath led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." God was guiding them. And so when Jesus mentions the clouds to the Jews reference in their mind the cloud that they can think of is the cloud of mercy that their fathers saw in the wilderness, the cloud that guided them to the promised land, the cloud that rested upon the mercy seat that gave them redemption. They knew when they saw the cloud, it represented the cloud of mercy for them. It wasn't just by accident that God mentions the clouds when Jesus comes back. And he says in Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him." When they see Jesus coming as a Jew in the clouds, they're going to realize God is merciful. And he comes in with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's a God of mercy. That's what the Jews saw. But the clouds not only represent mercy, they also represent for us a cloud of grace. A reference that I'll use is in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so this verse tells us that we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. All those that were redeemed by Jesus Christ, those that saw Jesus Christ, those that were standing in Acts chapter 1, gazing upon the clouds and seeing Jesus taken up with the clouds, realizes by the angels that were there, said, "This same Jesus that you see leaving will so come again in the clouds." They knew that God represented the grace that he died on the cross and was buried and rose again 3 days to give them redemption. When they see the clouds as Gentiles, when we see the clouds, we're looking for Jesus, the God of grace, the God that saved us by his wonderful grace and blood. We see as Gentiles the grace of God, and I can't wait to see that cloud. That cloud to us is not just something in the sky. That cloud represents grace. Every time you look out now, when you go down driving the road, when you're sitting in the back seat drinking some tea and enjoying the mosquitoes eating on you, just look up in the sky. And when you see those clouds, think, those represent the clouds of grace. That's just not there by accident. That's grace that God gave to me that I could have everlasting life. Look at the clouds. They represent the cloud of mercy and the cloud of grace. But you know what? The Bible also tells us about a cloud of wrath that God represents in 2 Peter 2:15-17 says, "Which have forsaken the right way," talking about those that had the ability to hear the truth and know the truth, but did not believe in Jesus. He said, "Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are the wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever." You see, that reference that he gives us in the Old Testament about Balaam of Beor, he was just a stupid guy that wanted to make money. And some other ones didn't want Israel to come through the land. And so they called up this so-called prophet and says, "I want you to curse these people of God." And for a certain amount of money, he was willing to do it. And God said, "That's not going to happen." So he sends a donkey, so I don't get myself in trouble. And he sent a donkey his way. And the donkey began to speak to him and tell him, you cannot do this thing. What's he do? He doesn't go, oh, my donkey's speaking. No, he starts arguing with the donkeys. Who does that? If your horse or your donkey or something, you went out in your field, your cow or something out there, just started speaking to your dog and said, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be in church today. What would you do? What would you do if your dog started telling you should be in the house of God instead of watching TV? It should freak you out. But in Balaam's case, he started arguing with the donkey about, oh no, and he didn't realize until later that God was keeping him from cursing the people of God. But what happens is there's people that hear the truth of God, hear the word of God, the Jews included, as well as the Gentiles, that know that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for their sins, and they need to have forgiveness through him by trusting in the blood, and they refuse Jesus. They refuse him. The Bible tells us here that they're going to be like wells without water, clouds that are carried away in the tempest and the storm, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. They don't repent. They don't change. When Jesus comes back in Revelation 1:7, it says there that all shall see him, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindred of the earth shall what? Be happy, be glad, be satisfied, be exalted, be praised. No, be that they shall wail because of him. Why? Because they realize that they've been caught up in their sin. They realized the truth that they heard all their life was right, and they could have made a decision for Christ, but they turned their back on him, and there he is. Now they're meeting him face to face. And they're going to wail because of it, because they're going to realize they made a bad, drastic, horrible mistake. God shows us this cloud of wrath that's going to come at the time of the tribulation period, and as written in Revelation, and that the people that are here are not going to turn and repent toward God. The majority of them are going to curse God for what he's doing to them. They don't want Jesus to rule and reign over them. You know, we see that even today. A lot of people don't want to hear about Jesus. A lot of people are going to start persecuting us because we speak about Jesus. A lot of people are going to turn their backs and start trying to burn our building down and everything because we preach Jesus. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to know the truth. They want to turn their back on him. But someday they're going to see the cloud of wrath come, and they're going to realize for the first time we were right, they were wrong, and they're going to die in their sins because they didn't accept Christ as their Savior. It's not that we want them to. We gave them the opportunity. We told them the truth. We gave them, just like you and I had the same opportunity they do to accept Christ as their Savior. They turn their back on him. And they can accept Christ just like we can, but they can't in their blind condition. They're not going to see. They don't want to see. They want to keep their attention on the world and all its changing views instead of on the Bible and the truth. So we see clouds of mercy that the Jews recognize. They know what that cloud means. We as Gentiles and believers after Jesus was resurrected see the cloud of grace and know that he has saved us through those clouds, and we're waiting for that return. And we see the cloud of wrath that are going to wail when they see Jesus come with clouds. But then we see one more cloud that I love, and that's in 1 Thessalonians 4, and that's the cloud of departure. The cloud of departure. It says in verse number 17, chapter 4, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Where? In the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Why do we got to meet him in the clouds? Because he's in the clouds. He's mercy. He's grace. And mercy and grace is going to come back, and the trumpet's going to sound, and this church is going to rise up, and we're going to meet him in the clouds. And we're going to depart out of this world forever and ever. It's my cloud of departure. I can't wait for my train to arrive. I'm waiting on the bus stop, waiting for that train. And I'm waiting for that chariot of fire to come down and take me home. That's what it's going to be like. You read in the Old Testament, that's what happened to Elijah. That's what's going to happen to us. We're going to be caught up alive and meet him in the clouds. And we're going to be taken out of this world. And we're going to reign with him forever and ever. See, it may look like just a cloud in the sky, but to you and I, it ought to represent a cloud of grace, a cloud of departure. I look at that sky and I think, I wonder, is Jesus coming back today? I'm wondering, is he going to come back in that cloud right there? Because I'm ready to meet him. The rest of this world may only see the cloud of wrath. The Jews, they ought to know when Jesus says, I'm coming with the clouds. Because they see a cloud of mercy. They didn't deserve to be guided by God. They didn't deserve to have their needs met by God every day for 40 years. They didn't deserve to enter into the promised land. They didn't deserve God's presence with them. They knew it was because of mercy he was there. And we don't deserve him either. But by grace are we saved. Through faith in Jesus Christ. I can't wait to see the clouds. I'm looking for my cloud when Jesus brings me home. I hope you are too. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's stand and ask God to help us this evening, this morning. Just to remember how gracious he's been to us. Guiding us in our daily walk through the Holy Spirit. That's our cloud today as a believer. Guides us, directs us, teaches us, trains us, and keeps our attention focused on the Lord. Well, we need to do that today. Let's just focus on God and allow him to minister to us, Lord, and help us make decisions that are worthy of his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you've given us here today. We ask, Father, that you'll bless our time together as you speak to our hearts during this time of invitation, that we may come and honor you, praise you, and thank you for being so good to us. We look forward to the day that we can see you come in the clouds and we can be taken out of this world. But I pray, Father, that you'll help us in the meantime to continue to get the gospel out and continue to reach people. I pray if there's anybody here that may not know you as Lord and Savior, that they'll trust you even today, that they can have their cloud, the remembering of what grace you have upon their life. Whatever the needs are, Lord, I pray that you'll meet them this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just spend a few moments in prayer. Let's ask God to help us as we play something on the music. If you want to come to the altar and pray, if you want to pray for that, just spend a few minutes with God and ask him what he'd have you do. Maybe it's a decision you need to make. Or maybe you just need to thank him that he mentioned the clouds and what they mean to us. What a great God we serve.